I want to say again that I'm glad to see everybody out in the house of the Lord. Appreciate your presence, and I say again that we don't take your presence for granted, but we're thankful to have you in the house of the Lord and to know that you love the Lord enough to come out to his house. Hallelujah. If you've got your Bibles, I want you to read with me from the book of St. John, or St. Luke it is, 24. Now I'm going to read in the, I think I'll start reading at the 44th verse. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. I'd like to tarry a little bit tonight on the place where he said tarry. In the 49th verse, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. I send you the promise of my Father. Now this morning we made mention concerning the promise. We were speaking of the Holy Land and speaking of the things that was to come and how the old prophets could not be made perfect without us. A writer one time said, Billy Sunday, I believe it was, he said that I'm a traveling evangelist, but I can't preach to a traveling congregation. So I'd like for them all to kind of settle down a little bit. Now, I have seen preachers that could preach to them going in and out and in the windows and out the doors and any talking and bubbling, chewing bubble gum. And, you know, let me say this. I don't think I've ever said anything about gum since I've been here. So I'd like to make up for all of it right now. You ought to be ashamed of yourself to chew gum in the house of God. I don't care if you're a sinner, a saint, a preacher, whatever you are. Girl, boy, or whatever you are, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. I think that'll take care of it. Amen. Now then, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Now, God promised us a certain thing, Brother Gonzalez. He promised us the gift of eternal life, and he promised us, Jim, the gift of the Holy Ghost. God promised this to the church. Now, I believe when God promises something to us that he knows what he's doing. And I believe that when he promises something to us, then we ought to take hold of that promise and demand that promise. I believe that we ought to demand that promise and wrestle that promise out of the hand of the devil until we are satisfied that God's word has been fulfilled in our life. I don't think that we ought to take anything less than the promise. I don't think we ought to take anything less than God's word, because God's word has promised us eternal life, and all of these things that God wants us to have, he has given us these things in the blessed eternal word of God. I'm not surprised that some people don't have the promises of God, because some people don't even know the promises of God. There are some people that never read the Bible enough to even know the promises of God. Some people never read the Bible enough to know whether or not God's real or whether he isn't real. To them, God is just some kind of fairy tale or some kind of myth, and they know more about George Washington and Abraham Lincoln than they do God, and they are more confident evidence in the school books than they have in the Word of God. You say, Brother Pike, can you prove a statement like that? They will make their children go to school. They will make their children go to school because the law says they have to go to school. And they'll make their children go to school because they believe in education, that it can feather their nest while in this world. And somebody will say something nice about their child because they graduated from high school, or say something nice about them because they put their children through college. The Bible said, seeking honor of men, how can you have honor of God when you seek honor one of another, vain glory? And people do this because they believe more in the worldly system than in the Word of God, and they know more about it. But my brother, just because you don't believe in the Word of God, the Bible said that does not make the Word of God of none effect. For if ye deny God, he remaineth faithful and cannot deny himself. You may in your thinking deny the Word of God. You may deny that there is a God. You may deny that Jesus is his name. And you may deny that you got to go to the judgment. But it doesn't make any difference. God doesn't deny himself. You may deny him, but God, that doesn't deny himself. One day we've got to stand face to face with a living God, Brother Tommy. One day we're going to stand at the judgment, and the Bible said, Brother Taylor, that we're going to give an account for every deed that we've ever done and every word that we've ever spoke. And not only that, but Paul said he would judge the secrets of our hearts, which is our thoughts, by the gospel that he preached to those people that day. And Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever, he's still preaching the same gospel. Hallelujah. So then, God commanded the church to tarry till it got power. Isn't that right? Tarry till you be endued with power from on high. The original translation of this verse says, when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive power. Amen. The Bible said in the King James Version, when the Holy Ghost, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive power. But the original rendering says, when the Holy Ghost comes, he's power. Amen. When you get the Holy Ghost, he is power. And that is the power of God. And the Bible said here, wait or tarry till you be endued with the power that's from on high. What the church needs tonight is the power of God, the power from on high, not make-believe daddy, but the real, genuine spirit of the living God. It's not the power of man-made ideology and man-made inventions. It's not by power of some educational system or some governmental authorities, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Amen. So then he said, as I covenanted with you, my spirit remaineth among you. Hallelujah. It's by the spirit of the living God. Now this is what was on my mind this morning, and I believe yesterday, is that we need to be endued with power from on high. This is something that has been on my mind for many long years. Something that I believed in, that the spirit of God is power. And I believe that that spirit of God is the word of the living God. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that can have faith, hallelujah, in the word of God. So that I'm not ashamed tonight of the gospel. Whether I talk to the banker or whether I talk to the local committee, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God, hallelujah, unto salvation. He said, tarry till you be endued with power from on high. Hallelujah. The Bible said that Paul went away in the Arabian desert for about 3 years out there talking with God till he got the power of God, till he got the revelation of Jesus Christ, which was the power of God. Hallelujah. Which was the Word of God. The Bible said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is God, and God is the Spirit, and God is the power. And Jesus said, my words are spirit, hallelujah, and my words are truth. And when he said the spirit of this word would come into the world, he said, when the spirit of truth is come, it will come into the world, he said. But the world cannot receive it because they live by sight. And the Bible said, the world seeth them not. Amen. But the Bible said he shall be in you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Holy Ghost lives in you because you're the temples of the living God. We're the temples of God tonight. We've got the Holy Ghost living in our bones tonight. Hallelujah. When we walk on the face of this earth, God is with us, feeling our infirmities. Hallelujah. The Bible teaches that he is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. He shall be in you. And the Bible said he's a high priest that can fill your infirmities. God is living in your spirit after you've been born again and regenerated and passed from death into life. God lives in your spirit. And when you have a pain, when you have a headache, when you have a suffering, when you have some debt pressing you or some evil spirit that presses you, God knows about it because the Holy Spirit is grieved. The Holy Spirit is grieved. But God wants you and I to have faith, hallelujah, to lift our faith up above the obstacles that come against us. I know a lot of people use old Job, and they say, Brother Pack, old Job, he was wonderful, and he just lay there and suffered, and they use him for an example. They don't ever rise above their afflictions. They don't ever rise above their poverty. They don't ever rise above their complainings and their fault findings and everything that said my brother or my sister as a result of everything that they say or they do. They use it for an excuse to justify the devil and to give him power over their believing that they might remain in that condition and suffer and be a reproach to the name and to the kingdom of the living God. But my brother, God wants us to rise above afflictions. God wants us to rise over every obstacle of life. It doesn't matter what it is. God wants us to rise above it. God has something for us. Job did not lay in the ash heap always. Amen. He went through a lot of suffering. He went through a lot of torture. He went through a lot of things that was said by his friends and by his neighbors and by them that he trusted in. But there he didn't stay in the ash heap. Job said, though these skin bones devour my body, my flesh, he said, yet in my flesh I shall see God. Amen. He had faith. He believed that God would heal his body. He believed that God would save him from his sins. He believed that God would help him over his poverties. And God would restore what the canker worm had gotten and the years the locust had consumed. He believed that God would restore those things. My brother and my sister, I'm here to tell you tonight as a witness from God that God will restore those things if you have faith. Amen. I will restore, saith the Lord. We're living in a day when God is telling us to tarry till we be endued with power from on high. I say, Brother Pack, there's no place in the Bible where God ever said tarry after Pentecost. I realize that. I realize that John here and Luke, I know that they're speaking of tarrying till the Holy Ghost comes. But my brother and my sister, we need to do a little tarrying in prayer. We need to do a little tarrying in preparation that we might be a fit subject. The Bible said, study to show thyself approved, a workman unto God that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the words of truth. Amen. I think about the builders of today, building great denominations, great spiritual enterprises, or rather religious enterprises, for themselves with ecclesiastical powers. And yet the Bible said they rejected the cornerstone. Done the same thing that Moses did back there. Or those that followed Moses, rather, did back there in the days of Jesus. They rejected the cornerstone. They wouldn't have the cornerstone. They had their religious enterprises, and they had the law of Moses. And today they've got their religious schools, and they've got the word of God, but they use it for their own advantage. That's exactly what the Jews did. Amen. That's what the Jews did. They took the word of God and used it for their own advantage. People who complain go around doing these things all the time and never have faith in God, never rising above their afflictions and above their poverties. They're using their things for the dimension of the flesh. Amen. But we're supposed to use the word of God as power unto salvation, as the power of deliverance, to have faith in the promises of the living God. I'm glad I'm a Christian tonight. I'm glad I believe in God tonight. I believe that we've got a little tarrying to do. I believe we've got a little preparing to do. I believe we ought to have some preparation from God, my brother. I was thinking about the song that Brother Taylor said, "Don't you know these three are one?" Did you know that that song was written by the son of a Baptist preacher? His daddy was a Baptist preacher. Brother Walter Bell's father was a Baptist preacher. But Walter got the life, hallelujah. And he done better than some of you so-called Pentecostals. He got baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And being a noted songwriter across the country, he wrote a song to the glory of God. Amen. He didn't take that old warped up idea that my daddy was Baptist and my granddaddy was Baptist and bless God I die Baptist. Amen. Glory to God, John was a Baptist. Amen. And you say, I'm a Pentecostal. Amen. But I'm a Christian. Hallelujah. Glory to God, I believe in Christianity. The Bible said there was first called Christians at Antioch because there was Christ-like. I believe in being Christ-like. The Bible said, tarry till you're being filled with power from on high. What the church needs is power from on high. It needs the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, Brother Pack, I've got the Holy Ghost. I wonder if you really expect me to believe that. I wonder if the church world tonight expects us to believe that they've got the Holy Ghost. I wonder if the church world expects the world out there to believe that they've got the Holy Ghost. I said, I wonder if they really expect them to believe that. They don't have any signs. They don't have any wonders. They don't have any miracles. They don't have any healings. They don't have any revelations. They don't have any consecrations to God. Amen. They don't know the word of God. You can't get them to be baptized according to the scriptures. The Bible said the Holy Ghost will lead you into all truth and all the righteousness of God. My brother and my sister, if we got the Holy Ghost today, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Hallelujah. If the Holy Ghost is in the church today, he's the same Holy Ghost he was back then. The Bible said these signs shall follow them to believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. Lay hands on the sick, hallelujah. And the Bible said they'll recover. Amen. Glory to God. Power from on high. Where is the power? Somebody said this power is just for certain people. It is. I agree with you. Glory to God is for certain people. It's for them that believe. That's a certain people. Amen. God said if you can believe, whatever you say in your heart, that will come to pass. He said if you ask anything in my name, anything, he said I'll do it. He said whatsoever you say, if you believe in your heart and don't doubt, that man shall have whatsoever he said. Amen. Glory to God. What is it? It's the power for the church to translate the church, my brother, my sister. It's the power of God. What is it? It's the word. Somebody said, we know the word. No, you don't know the word. Somebody said, we've had the word for many, many years. No, you haven't had the word, my brother, my sister. Somebody said, well, didn't the Jews have the word? If you call having the word, letting it lay around on the shelves and the dust wrapping it up, having no confidence in it, having no faith in it, if you call that having the word, then the world's had the word. I said, the world's had the word as much as the Christians have had it. Amen. You've not had the word. My brother and my sister, when you get the word, it'll change you. The church world out yonder, they've had the word of God, but they've been like the Jews and have not mixed faith with it. What we need is faith in the word of God. Amen. You say they've got the word. They've had the word. If they've got the word, then what have they done with it? What have they done with it? My brother, if you really had the word of God in your heart, you couldn't keep you away from the water hole to be baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now you say, oh, I got a lot of Bibles. Holy Bibles. I say again, you need to eat one of them. Glory to God and get the Word of God in your heart. Eat the book. That's what the writer said. Amen. Get it in your heart. Hallelujah. You've got to let them laying around home, but you need to eat one of them. Praise God, Jesus, unless you eat my flesh. He said, what is the flesh? What is the flesh? Said the Word of God. Amen. His Word was made flesh. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. What is the blood? The Spirit is in the bloodstream, in the heart. Partake of my Spirit. Hallelujah. Eat the Lord's Supper. Glory to God, that's the real supper. Hallelujah. When Jesus seated over there with his disciples, he was trying to tell them what was going to come. We're in the evening time. If you had the Word, my brother and my sister, in your heart, you couldn't stay away from the water hole. Some of these preachers get up on the radios, get out on the street corners, and they'll start off with some kind of theme. They'll say, God never called me to baptize. And they'll start off with that theme. The Bible said, God never called me to baptize. And they take Paul the Apostle's teaching. What Paul said, God never called me to baptize but preach the gospel. And they ride it for a hobby horse, and the Bible said that they don't even know that which they affirm, Paul said. They're doting about in the scriptures, not knowing anything. Paul did say that God didn't call me to dip people in water. He did say that. But brother, he never said in any place God ever called him to preach baptism. You're reading this right, and you'll find he preached baptism all the way through. Amen. He said as many as been baptized into Christ has put on Christ. He said God just got Apollos over there to dip him in the water. So I do the preaching and Paul does the Apollos does the baptizing. I plant in Apollos water. You ever heard of planting a seed and then getting a harvest without any water in it? That's exactly the way some of you are. Somebody said, but I've been baptized. But it isn't the water, my brother. It isn't the water. The Bible said that the remission of sin shall be preached in his name, beginning at Jerusalem, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. Peter said unto you and your children, to them that be afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. Glory to God. Every writer, every preacher in the Bible preached and baptized in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I feel religious, don't you? Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. God likes this kind of preaching. Amen. I like it too because it makes me feel good. Hallelujah. Praise God. So then what do we need to do? Tarry till we get full of the Word. Full of the Word. You say that, Brother Pike, you said power. Jesus said, my words are spirit. My words are spirit. In the beginning was God the Word. In the beginning was God the Spirit. Amen. And he said the Word is the power of God and the salvation. All you got to do is get the Word. Get the Word. Somebody said, but I want to heal folks. All you got to do is get the Word. Because the Bible said God sent his Word and healed them. Hallelujah. I said it's faith in God's Word that brought their healing. You're waiting for some evangelist, waiting for some preacher, waiting for somebody. I tell you, the Word of God is among us. Hallelujah. It's faith in the Word of God. If you want to be healed, then the Bible said, by his stripes you were healed. God made the Word flesh and hung it at Calvary for you, my brother and my sister. God made the Word flesh and hung it at Calvary. He sent his Word to Calvary. He sent his Word to the whipping post. And by the stripes of the Word you are healed. By the blood that came in the Word. Amen. You made whole. You got salvation. Amen. He said, tarry till you get the power from on high. Hallelujah. Glory to God, power to you, get some power from on high. Somebody said, I got the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, I got the Holy Ghost. My brother, some of you need the Holy Ghost. If you had the Holy Ghost, you wouldn't walk like you walk. Amen. Some of you, if you'd be a little bit different, then I might believe that you got the Holy Ghost. But when you get the Holy Ghost, he'll make you walk right. He'll make you talk right. He'll make you do the things that pleases God. He'll take the Word out of your heart and you'll forget about houses and land and automobiles and fame and prestige and education. You you get your mind on the things of God. That's what the Holy Ghost does. Somebody said, can you prove it? Glory to God, I sure can. The Bible said when the Holy Ghost came at Pentecost, they sold their houses. They sold their land. They brought it and they laid it down at the apostles' feet. And the Bible said nobody said anything belonged to him. They gave it to God, my brother and my sister. Amen, glory to God. Men full of the Holy Ghost. Amen, that's right. And the Bible said God worked with them confirming the word. Confirming the word. Why is it the church world doesn't have power? Because they haven't got the word. Amen. When Jesus the word came, in the days of Moses, all the miracles was gone. All the power of God was gone. But they still had the law of Moses. But what happened to it? In the days of Moses, they had power. In the days of Joshua, they had power. In the days when the word was sent to them, they had power. What was the matter? They didn't have it when Jesus came on the scene. What was the matter? What, no prophets for many years? What was the trouble? They didn't have the word. And somebody said, but Brother Pike, you just said they had the word. The Bible said that they had inserted new amendments. They had put in their own tradition. They had put in their own ideas. They had altered the word of God and changed the word of God and added to the word of God. Until when Jesus Christ, the word of God, walked into their midst, they never even recognized him. They changed the word of God so much with their doctrines and disciplines in the church of God and in the assemblies of God, in the Baptist and the Presbyterian and the Episcopal church, in the Catholic church, in the Methodist church, and every other church. They changed it so much until they don't recognize the preaching of Jesus Christ. And even the people that call themselves Jesus' name in the denominations, they've got God's word twisted up and walked up so much till they don't know no more about it than the Baptist does. Amen. My brother, if they really knew the word of God in those denominations, you know what they do? They get baptized in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Somebody said, but what about the UPC and the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ and these other denominations? If they knew the word of God, they'd stop women from preaching and get them out of the pulpit. I said they'd know them. Amen. They'd get into the revelation of Jesus Christ and stop dilly-dallying around with God. Amen. Strain it out and swallow a camel. Amen. I made a statement here the other night, I believe. Talking to somebody, Brother Charlie wrote us. He said when the Church of God women preachers had bobbed their hair, had dyed her hair blonde, and was wearing pants, one of the clergy, or one of them in the church, was doing hairdos on hippies and so forth, and said some of the Church of God preachers had begun to wear the long beards and the long hair. And some of the Church of God preachers, wives, had begun to wear miniskirts. You tell me that's the early apostolic church. My brother, you tell me that's the early apostolic church. The UPC, though, some of the people in the UPC, it's got so silly with their hairdos, it's not even funny anymore. They pointed up on top of their head like a washtub. And everybody has to do it. Then you go into their midst and you sit down in their midst and you feel like you're an iceberg. Amen. You say, don't you think they're God's people? Let me tell you something. Israel was God's people. But the Bible said, lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people of their transgression without respect to person. Amen. Glory to God. People get silly over these things. Hallelujah. The Bible said the government shall be upon the shoulders and a woman's assembly of the church and a higher assembly of the glory in government. It needs to get back down where it was. Amen. Glory to God, they need to look like women. Amen. Praise God. The Jews got selfish. They got the feeling like they was the only people, and God cut them off. That's what's happened to the Jesus name people. They got self-confident. They got the feeling like they was God's people because they knew God's baptism, and God had hid it from the others. But my brother, the Bible said God blinded Israel in part till the fullness of the Gentiles would come in. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's what got the Jesus name people shook up now. God walked right off and left him and went out there in the Trinity cycle and took himself abroad. I said God left the Jews and went right out there into the world and got himself a bride. Praise God. But he said, when my people are called by my name unto themselves, oh, hallelujah. When the daughters of Zion quit walking holy, take the ponytails down and just begin to be what they are. Glory to God, and drop the dresses down below the knees as far as the length of them. Hallelujah. And begin to be like saints. Then the glory of the Lord is coming down. For when the saints begin to pray and let the good Lord have his way, then the glory of the Lord is coming down. Power from on high. Hallelujah. Why is it that the church world hasn't had God's best? Because they don't have God's word. Hallelujah. He said, if you keep my word, and if you abide in my word, and my word abides in you, you ask what you will, and I will do it. The church needs to come back to the word of God, my brother. Amen. Get away from the heresy. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, we preach 99% of it, but that won't do. The song says, come on, brother, let's make 199 and a half. Won't do. Amen. Jesus said, if you're guilty of one thing, you are guilty of all. Your transgression of all. Is that right? Not one jot nor tittle shall pass away. Is that right? Is that right? So then we know, my brother and my sister, and we willfully pass over something to honor doctrines of mankind, then God will take away the other. Well, let's get that one thing right. Hallelujah. How many of you would have respect to your wife, you men folks tonight? And she said, husband, I pass up 99 men, and there's only one that catches my eye. How would you feel about her? I said, how would you feel about her? She said, I ain't decent around 99 men, but there's one that just makes me do wrong. How would you feel about her? I'd give her walking papers. I'd say, hit the road, you're a prostitute. I don't want you. That's the way God feels. You might do 99% of what the word of God says, but my brother, if you leave off 1%, you're a prostitute. God's not the government. I used to do a little accountant work, working with Brother J.C. Ward, and in making out a trial balance sheet, I learned one thing about the government. I don't care if you give them 99 cents, they want their penny. I said, they want their penny. They've got it set up to where the trial balance sheet will not balance if there's one penny missing. Everyone has got to be right. Perfection. The world will take anything, but God demands perfection. Hallelujah. You say, what is it going to take, Brother Pike? Power from on high. Power from on high. God said, stay there till you get some power from on high. Till you get full of the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, well, where have I got to go? Have I got to go to Indiana? Have I got to go to the woods? Have I got to go to the mountain? No, you got to go to your knees. I said, you got to go to your knees. Amen. You got to go to God. The Bible said, go to God if you need wisdom. I don't care if it's in the cornfield. I don't care if it's in the cotton field. I don't care if it's on the mountain. If it's in the airplane, in his car. I don't care if it's in your bedroom. You go to God and God will give you power. Amen. Stay with the word of God and read it. Stay with it and love it. Eat it. Meditate in it day and night. Hallelujah. Solomon said, till wisdom becomes sweet to you. Hallelujah. Until it gets real sweet like honey cake. Glory to God, till it tastes like honey cake. The angel said, it'll be sweet in your mouth. Said, your belly will get bitter. You know why? Because people make their belly their God. And it kills out that old God belly. That's why it's bitter to the belly. Amen. It makes them leave off everything the belly craves. The Bible said, all of your labor is for your belly because your belly craves it out there. Amen. Be bitter to the belly. But hallelujah, be sweet like honey in your mouth. Glory to God, every time I say something about Jesus, it's sweet and sweeter. Glory to God, powerful and high. You know, I feel like I'm just beginning to get started preaching. If I don't stop, pretty soon I might not get stopped tonight. But I'm feeling better all the time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's no wonder Paul preached like he did. Glory to God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. This thing's real to me, folks. It's real to me. I don't know what it is to you, but so help me God, it's real to me. Amen. Glory to God. What do we need when the church really gets back to the word? You'll see power. Why? What's God going to confirm? His word. What's God going to confirm? His word. Can't you just see where the Bible said, and God worked with them, confirming them with signs and wonders because there was some special person? Or because somebody said there was a prophet? Or because somebody said there was an evangelist? Or somebody built a nice big church? Or somebody built a denomination, or somebody had television radio programs, or somebody had a big tent, and God worked with them, confirming signs and wonders? Is that right? No, that wasn't what he said he did. That didn't have anything to do with it. Peter didn't have a tract, and he didn't have a tent. He didn't have a television program. He didn't have a radio program. Amen. Amen. But the Bible said, he said, such as I do have, give I thee. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's right. The Bible said, God worked with them, confirming the word. He had the word of God in his heart. They took notice he had been with the word. He'd been with the word. God worked with him, confirming the word. And when the church gets back to the word, God's going to work with them again. Amen. Glory to God. Somebody said, you think the world will ever do it? No. But God's got a little group that will do it. He's always had a group. The early apostolic church, he just had a little group. Few there will be that found it. The rest of them's full of disputes and corruptions. Amen. I was just thinking this afternoon, I'm going to try to close here in just a minute. I was thinking this afternoon how people get so mixed up and crossed up. Did you know, I noticed that almost in every family, when somebody, usually that's too lazy to work, or a job, finds out that the family has got converted. Don't you hear me? I said, as a rule, in a family, I've seen this all across America, when a family gets converted, some lazy member of the family becomes a preacher. And he says, now my brother and my sister's paying tithes over here at that church. There ain't no need of me doing that because I'm his brother and I'm a preacher. And he ought to give his tithes to me and he ought to support me. And so the brother and the sister ain't got enough wisdom to see beyond the end of their nose. And they say, well, why give it to somebody else? My brother is a preacher. And the first news you know, it's a jumbled up mess. Amen. You can say amen or oh me. You know why some people don't never get nowhere with God? They're like a hunter. They get out in the woods and they get on this side of the stream, this side of the branch, like they're hunting for something over here when there ain't nothing over there to find. That's right, all the game's on the other side of the creek. But you can't get over there to make them believe on this side. But the game ain't gonna come over there. Amen. When God wants you to do something, he'll reveal his will to you. And what you got to do is get in the stream with God. And then you won't be making believe and God will do something for you. But you can stand on the other side of the creek and holler and make believe all you want to. But God ain't going over there. He didn't send you over there to start with. There ain't nothing to do. Somebody said, bless God, God called me to do something. I'm going to stand over here. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. You're going to run as one that beat the air, Paul said. You don't know where you're going. You don't know what you're doing. And God's not going to do anything for you. God didn't call you to get up a program of your own. He didn't call you for that. And he ain't going to confirm you to nobody. But praise God, when you die and you get rid of you and you turn to God and you find the will of God and you walk in the will and will of God, then my brother, let whosoever will, and God will confirm the word in his life with signs and wonders. You get on the side of the creek where the game's at and you can find something. Amen. Glory to God, that's the way it's wrote in the book. Amen. I feel better all the time. Maybe I don't feel too good, but I feel pretty good. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's stand together. The Bible said Abraham, after that he had endured patiently, then he received the promise. Is that right? God has to see if we're going to endure. See if we're falling for the fishes and loaves, and then after that we'll get the promise. Amen. Some boys running around out here hollering, glory to God, and called to preach, and even got out of their diapers. I said, they even got out of their diapers. Some of them hollering, glory to God, God called me to preach, and even got out of their diapers. You say, don't you believe God called him to preach? The Bible said that Jeremiah was called even before he was in his mother's womb. God did him. Amen. But let me tell you something. Jesus Christ, though he was the Son of God, the Bible said, yet learned he obedience by the things he suffered, therefore being made perfect, going through the chastening of God. Every son that cometh to God, God chasing him first. To see if he's after the fishes and loaves, or trying to set him up a little place because he's too lazy to work to where somebody will give him some tithe money. Amen. Glory to God. God, but when you get out there and you're ready to take the cross, you ain't interested in nothing. But let me say this. I just feel like I ought to say it. I remember I got one of the biggest disappointments when I started off in the ministry that anybody could have ever got. As a boy that I had my whole heart and soul set on, I thought he was just a gold mine for God. Amen. And he said he was called into the ministry. And God got a hold of my heart, and I thought I wanted to go with him, help him do all I could. And so then every time I talked to him, I found him trying to plan some kind of deal to where he could get a living out of it. And it always bothered me. And he never could figure out how me and him could split the profit, you know, and have enough to stay on the field. Well, I never could figure that out because I wasn't interested in it to start with. I told him, I said, well, I ain't interested in the money. I wasn't even thinking about the money. Seemed to me like that was foolish to talk about money when God called you to preach. So help me God, that was the truth. I didn't even have my mind on money. I thought, well, we're supposed to go tell people about Jesus. But he's always figuring until one day he just figured it out where we just couldn't do it. And finally, he wound up in the mess. He's still in the mess today. Amen. I just went on for Jesus and trusted God to meet my needs like he promised. Wasn't interested in money to start with. And God met my needs. And this past year, from July to July in 12 months, we run through the bank $35,581. Didn't have a bit of income, Jim. Didn't have nothing to look to but trust in God. $35,000 outside of many thousands of dollars worth of equipments and different things that people gave to us aside from this cash money. Now then, the blessing of God maketh rich and addeth no sorrow, my brother, my sister. You seek the kingdom of God and all these other things will be added. You love the Lord, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. You might be a youngster and you might be called to preach. And I'm not mocking you when I speak about your diaper. But I tell you what, you need to do like Jesus did. Stay with Joseph and Mary until you can get on your feet. Until you can get old enough to know what you're doing. Hallelujah. God will use you. God will use you. Some of these super duper come through. Every now and then I see a super duper come through and they try to tell everybody that they ought not be worshiping Brother Pike and tell everybody, you know, that they ought to run off on a limb somewhere over here and leave their family and do anything that they can. Just make out any old way and just do without and make everybody look bad but them. But my brother, you check the records and you're going to find everybody looks good but them. That's right. Find the word. Glory to God, they need to know the word. They need to get right with God. You say, Brother Pike, how can I get right with God? God's the word. Get right with the word. And you'll be right with God. Running across the country and don't know what they're doing. The things that they're phoned, they don't know nothing about it. That's right. But my brother, my sister, when you get right with the word, you're right with God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God, you got to work with me. Hallelujah. When God sends something in the earth, it's not optional. When God sends something in the earth, you don't sit back and decide whether you want to work with it or not. I said, when God sends something in the earth, you don't sit around and say, well, I think I will, I think I won't. My brother, you do. I said you do. I said you do work with it or else. You do work with it or else. When God begins to move in the land, you work with it or you don't work at all. You don't work at all. God puts you out of commission altogether. Amen. About a half a dozen of you in here, Morris, tried it and you found out God put you out of commission. Amen. That's not all. If you keep on rebelling, God will put you out of commission altogether. You may think you're special, but you just wait and see if I'm telling you like it is. Amen. When God told Peter to take the keys of the kingdom, set the apostolic church, the ones that didn't work with him didn't work at all, Jim. They didn't work at all. God's moving in the earth. God's moving in the earth. A lot of folks want to be a lone ranger, you know. Amen, that's right. Want to run off. But I tell you what, they're going to work with this or they ain't going to work at all because it's God. It's God. Amen. We're going to have to learn to work with it, my brother and my sister. Praise God. If you ain't baptized in Jesus' name, you better get baptized. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody said, I'll wait. I know a fellow I told not too long ago. A preacher, pastor in the church right over here at Appalachia, a young man. I told him, I said, brother, get baptized in Jesus' name. He decided he'd wait. He wanted to think it over a lot of other things. He'd been preaching Trinity for many long years. But just about the time he decided that Jesus' name was right and he was going to get baptized, God didn't let him get baptized. I said, he got killed. Got killed. Somebody said, well, if I change my mind, God will. No, God don't. Not always. Sometimes God gets tired of you. Sometimes God gets tired of you. He don't like to be used just for your convenience. Amen. That he don't like for people just to use him. God wants to use you. Amen. Hallelujah.